This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios today. Glad you guys could be with us. A lot to get into. How about the Avalanche? That was a great story for them to, a great way for them to end the regular season, get some momentum as we approach the playoffs. They will play Sunday. I believe the coverage begins at 5 o'clock or 4:30 on our station, and then the game is actually at 5 o'clock. So we're looking forward to that. We got Nuggets on Saturday. We got Avs on Sunday. It's going to be wild, man. We're looking forward to a fun playoff run. Joining me now, though, speaking of playoffs, we're going back. You know, you look at the Broncos back in the day. The last time this team was really relevant in the NFL was when this man was on it. Chris Harris Jr. joining us now, Super Bowl 50 champ, three-time All-Pro, four-time Pro Bowler, 2010's All-Decade Team. Chris, man, appreciate you setting this up. I know you're a busy man, but we've been looking forward to this chat for a while.
Oh, yeah, man. Thanks for having me, man.
What are you up to, man? I know you're busting it. You're getting after it more and more, but what are you up to these days, bro?
Oh, man, I'm retired now, so I'm just enjoying the life of, you know, just being able to be around with the family more, doing more, you know, media stuff. I went to the NFL broadcasting camp. That was pretty much, you know, full-fledged interviews, you know, with all the networks and just, you know, just continue to start to segue my next phase in life.
What? Talk to us a little bit about the NFL's broadcast side of things. Like, what were you? What did you do? What kind of things are you learning there?
Oh man, everything. You know, it was. You know, we did TV play by play, right? And I got to do it with Chris Myers. He's been doing it for over 30 years. You know, so to be able to get in the booth and you know did two halves kind of. And then after you do that, after one half, you know, you go into a room and you just watch the whole thing with all the producers and the talent scouts, you know. And they judge you and try to give you corrections, and then you go out there and do it again. So you just, and you do every aspect of media. So from podcast to TV to TV analyst to play-by-play radio, every aspect of the media. So it was a great learning experience.
What's your interest? I mean, where do you want to specialize? Do you want to get into the actual play-by-play side of things, the analyst side of things, or more of like a talk radio show? What are you really interested in?
I like the analyst, and also I like the play-by-play because, you know, I'm able to break down the game and then be able to explain you know, football terminology and being able to bring it to, you know, to say if I was speaking to a little child, you know, being able to break it down to the sense to where everybody can understand it. And I think I did very well at that. Pretty much all the feedback that I got. So it would definitely be a challenge, I think, just family-wise with the schedule-wise because you got to travel so much and, you know, you're pretty much gone from Thursday to Sunday. But other than that, you know, learning the players, learning the teams, breaking down the schemes, breaking down what this offensive guy is trying to do or defense, looking at it both ways, I think I did pretty well at that. So, you know, it's some competition. You know, Romo, you know, you see Brady coming into it. But when it comes to the minorities, it's very low. So yeah. It's definitely of a great opportunity.
Oh, man, I hope very soon we're going to be seeing you and hearing you all over the place breaking down football. And it's interesting to hear you say it's going to be a challenge. You went from an undrafted guy to an all-decade dude. So I would imagine there's not a lot of challenges you can't tackle, my friend.
Yeah, it's just different, you know. It's not – now it's being able to just, you know, break the game down, which that's not challenging, right? I don't think, you know, it's just really talking ball, talking football. But, you know, it's the, really just the time schedule. That's really the only thing challenging, I would say. But it was definitely, you definitely have to work at it. It's something that you got to practice. You know, having a nice delivery, not using filler words. You know, just simple things like going back to school again, you know. So being able, you can be able to present to the audience that you're excited about the game, right? Getting them pumped up about the game to watch the game with you, right? So I think it's kind of cool, man. You know, maybe I could do it, kind of have my own presentation to the game, be able to give them a different insight to what even what Brady or, you know, Romo or any of those guys do.
Oh, man.
There'll be competition.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be on the lookout for that for sure. Chris Harris Jr. joining us, former Denver Bronco, of course, Super Bowl 50 champ. And Chris, right before we got you on, I was just thinking about it. I was like, man, it has been a long, what, 8-9 years for Broncos fans, just hoping this team can get back to what you guys were back when you won Super Bowl 50. How difficult is it for you, you know, playing for the Broncos all those years and immersing yourself in the Broncos country world? How difficult is it to see this franchise over the last 8 years since that Super Bowl really struggle?
Oh, man, it's definitely hard, you know, and I feel like I'm still on a part of that, you know, just playing with those guys now, playing with Cortland when he first came in the league, you know, Justin, now he's gone, you know. But, you know, at the end of those tales, or Tim Patrick's still there, I got to see Tim come in the league, you know. But
yeah.
It's hard. I know it's hard for those guys, and, you know, you wish those guys could to get more wins, you know, see Justin make the playoffs or Cortland get some wins, but it just hadn't happened for those guys, and it's been hard, but it's something that these next 2 years we got to make it right. We can't make a lot of mistakes in this draft, and these next couple of years are very important.
When you look at the draft for the Broncos, where do you sit? You know, they're sitting at number 12. There's talk of this team trading up. There's talk of this maybe even trading back and acquiring another second round pick or something like that. What do you envision? What do you think this team should do with that 12th pick, Chris?
Yeah, we got to see where those top, pretty much the top four quarterbacks, you know. I think everybody else is kind of scrambling at that fifth spot, whether it's Penix, Bo Nix, you know, they don't really, you know, it's not very surefire yet. So I think if May, Daniels, Williams, and McCarthy are gone, then I would look at Bowers, right? Mm. I think the tight end position is a key position in the league now. Being able to have another offensive weapon. And teams have always killed us. They've always killed the Broncos with their tight end. Why can't we just get one that's a weapon like that? You know, red zone threat. I think with Bowers, he can play all over the field. I think he would fit perfect in McVay's offense.
Talk to us about the tight end position, too. It's changed a lot even since...
Or Tom Payton, I'm sorry.
Even in the past 5-10 years, man. I mean, the tight end position just continues to evolve. And as you said, that can be one of those, maybe a Bronco killer. That could be any team killer. If you have a stud tight end that can block and go downfield, man, you can do a lot of things to open up that offense.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had a real tight end in Denver, probably since Julius Thomas,
sure,
you know,
yeah.
This offensive mismatch, right? We've seen what Peyton did with them, so we don't know what's going to happen with Cortland. Are we going to trade Cortland? Are we going to keep him? He's been our red zone threat, right? So I think if those top quarterbacks are gone, right, it wouldn't hurt to look at Bowers at tight end, and he could probably be gone. Say if he's gone, let's look at what's our next weakest spot on the team? My suggestion would be the number two corner spot opposite of Surtain. Right. When I was in Denver, we always had loaded corners. We always had a lot of depth, and there was a lot of competition. And I don't think they have that really. Even for me and Tlaib, it was as great as we were. Right. We still had competition. Right. So we still got to have some competition to kind of still push Surtain. To be the best he can be.
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, too. I mean, those were great memories when you and Aqib Talib were doing your thing, and I know Bradley Roby there in the, what, in the nickel of the dime, all that stuff. That, yeah. I mean, you guys were able to do so much because of your lockdown coverage. I mean, it was a kind of a, you know, a complimentary defense, seeing what you guys were able to do, and then you get pressure on the quarterback. And I think there's a lot of Broncos fans that would love to see get back to that, where you have two shutdown corners.
Yeah, I like Arnold from Alabama. I like Wiggins. Think about the corner from Clemson, right? He's fast. He has great cover skills, but he doesn't play the run very well. So it depends on what they're looking for, right? But if you want a pure cover corner, I love the guy from Clemson.
Nate Wiggins from Clemson, I think that yeah. would be a great pick, too. I mean, and I'm one of those guys, Chris, and you really changed this for me, honestly. I'm being honest with you. I'm not just sucking up to you. I love watching the corners play. I wish there was a camera that we could get as fans that just would focus on cornerback play, because I really believe, especially in this day and age, if you can get two guys to shut down a receiver or tight end, whatever, it gives you a chance on the defensive side to make some special plays.
And, man, that was one of my pitches, man, right there, what you said. Giving, like, a view of just a secondary view, like, on a whole other channel, right? But it's, like, giving you the coverages, right? And somebody's breaking it down and analyzing the different coverages and the techniques that the DBs are using. So I think that would be a cool idea, man.
Dude, let me know. I'll help you pitch that. I would love to see that.
Yeah, man. You know, I think that's something different, especially guys at 7-on-7 or secondary that likes to deal with the skill positions, man. They'd definitely be tuned in to that.
Oh, I'd love it. Chris Harris Jr. joining us, former Denver Bronco. Chris, what are your thoughts on the current regime right now for the Broncos with, you know, obviously new ownership? A lot's changed since you played for Denver. New ownership, you got the Paytons in there, you got George Payton, you got Sean Payton. What are your initial thoughts, kind of your gut reaction to the guys in charge right now?
Yeah. I mean, I think they're putting their they're getting acclimated to how Denver is, and I think they see that, you know, Bronco fans love the Broncos. You know, the Denver is definitely a football town, even though the Nuggets are balling right now. But it's still Broncos country, and I think with Coach Payton, they did improve from last couple years from his first year with Coach Sean. I haven't got to meet him yet or really visit him yet, so I'm planning on coming back this year. Definitely make it to a game and be able to, you know, talk to them and see where their pulse is. But, you know, with Coach Pat Bowlen, you know, the Bowlens were great. Mm. Definitely loved them. Pat was, I mean, especially early in my career, he was there every day, you know, until he started getting sick. And so he was a guy, he was definitely passionate about the team, and he was always had his ear to the building. And I'm pretty sure that hopefully these guys are just like him.
Chris Harris Jr. joining us right now. And Chris, it's so much fun to be able to pick your brain a bit, talk football, talk about those days too with Pat Bowlen, and just kind of hearing you talk about him a bit. But that Super Bowl 50 team, man, I mean, where do you rank that team when we're talking about some of the greatest teams in NFL history, especially on the defensive side of the ball, man? Are you going to say that's one of the best defenses that's ever done it?
Oh, yeah, especially in this modern time, right? People will say, you know, the Bears or the Ravens, which I understand definitely. Those teams were great. Or LOB, they were great. It's just, you know, in the era that we were in where you can't really there's no illegal touching, right? We can't illegal touch like those guys could do. And covering, you know what I mean? The physicality that we could play with, right? The new offensive schemes that they were bringing in, you know, the dynamic running quarterbacks and, you know, and the spread offense of how it was evolving in the league. We're kind of like in that space. And so I think we were definitely the best of this era. You know, when you look at from D-line, A-plus, linebackers A-plus, you know, guys that can run, stop, physical, can cover. You know, we had the total package up front. And then you had the secondary, just very versatile, being able to play man, zone, every type of coverage you can think of. And versus the best weapons, man, you know, Brady versus Big Ben, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers, all these guys, you know, all the Hall of Fame guys that you'll see going in getting gold jackets pretty soon.
No fly zone, Chris. I mean, we just that's the best hashtag for a defense ever, and that's what you guys brought to the table each and every day. Hey, let me ask you this as we kind of wrap up, Chris. Who was it Tom Brady? Was that the hardest, the toughest quarterback you ever went against?
Oh, Mahomes and Brady for sure.
Yeah,
whatever. Mahomes is like they're both. Brady is scary in the fourth quarter, right? Because you can be killing Brady all game, but fourth quarter, you know Brady's going to turn to a monster. You gotta beat Brady, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of the same way with Mahomes. So they're both – but Mahomes does is he won't run, right? He'll play quarterback, and then he won't start running until the fourth quarter. And then those are backbreakers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we've seen it time and time again, too. What is your, like, as a cornerback, Chris, when you're playing against a running guy, somebody like Patrick Mahomes, those guys that you know, hey, we got to cover a little bit, but when we lock it down, there's another level this quarterback can go to. How does that change your level of play when you know you're going up against a running quarterback? Yeah.
Now that I'm analyzing this, because I haven't really truly like broke it down like this before, I'm going to have to go with Mahomes.
It's difficult, right? You can do everything right, and then he takes off.
You can do everything perfect in the secondary, right? And he can still find a way to make a play with his legs. Brady, we didn't really stress him being able to make a play with his legs. Right, we felt Brady was going to kill us with his mind.
Yeah,
he was going to dink and dunk us. If we had any space, he could fit it in. Right, it was more mentally taxing going against Brady, but physically taxing, you would have to go with Mahomes because I can guard Tyreek Hill five plays straight, perfect. Right, then that one time you mess up, and he can throw it right down, hit him right on the money, or he can scramble off and run. So it's just Mahomes is very tough. And then putting him with Andy Reid.
Oh, man.
That's just a match made in heaven.
Well, and I'm even thinking about with your boy Von Miller, when Patrick Mahomes is running, he's got the ball in his right hand. Oh, he just flips it over to his left and throws. I mean, how do you stop that kind of stuff?
Only way, I think, you got to win up front, right? It's going to start with the D-line. You got to get you some dogs up front to be able to deal with KC. And nobody has been able to, I would say, have that. They've had some, like the Eagles, they were supposed to be an elite pass rush D-line, right? You have, what they have, like 70 or 60 sacks?
Yeah.
In a season, right? You suspect them to be able to stop Mahomes, but when it came down to it, they didn't live up to their stats in the season, right? That's why I always say we're definitely one of the top defenses because we did it in the regular season and the postseason. So that's what it's going to take. You're going to have a great D-line to be able to shut this man down because he needs that pressure.
Chris Harris Jr., man, we got to do this again, okay? I've been meaning to reach out to you for so long, and I'm glad I did. It is so entertaining. I could just honestly sit and listen to you talk Broncos football all day, every day, dude. So we just appreciate the opportunity to get you on the program today.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Anytime, anything you need, man, just shoot me a text, man. If I'm free, I'll definitely try to make it.
All right, that sounds great, dude. And best of luck to you. I can't wait to see you on TV analyzing football on a weekly basis and maybe with that cornerback cam, too. That would be pretty sweet, dude.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no problem, man.
All right,
thanks,
Chris. All right, have a good weekend, man. Chris Harris Jr., former Denver Bronco. How about that, dude? Chris is that's a beast right there. Who doesn't love Chris Harris Jr.? But it does kind of make me sad talking to him because I'm going back like that was when they were good. That's when things were really good. Chris Harris Jr., former Denver Bronco, of course, Super Bowl 50 champ. We're going to take a short break here. I'm going to have Andy LeClaire on the show a little bit later, actually in like 10 minutes here. And we're going to talk about You know, just all the we're going to look at some of the illegal stuff going on, or, you know, interesting things going on in the sports world, and he's going to kind of give us his take. So we'll talk to him, of course. That he's from Bruno Lilly LeClaire, BLL.legal, or you can call him at 720-340-1373. So I'm really looking forward to that conversation. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Since Nuggets and Avalanche games on KFKA, we are Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
You know what we need, Angel, is we need like the Law and Order music for this new segment that we're going to be doing time and time again. Andy LeClaire joining us from Bruno Lilly LeClaire. Dude, Andy, thanks so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, well, this is fun. I've been talking about this for the last couple of weeks. So whenever there is a crime committed in the sports world, I immediately think of you.
Well, good. Very nice.
Yes.
Can we do the golf clap?
Yeah, golf clap. Susan and Cheryl really love that, the live studio audience back there. That's good. Does this go through your mind before you're going to case? Do you have that like strut and you're in your suit and everything?
Honestly, I don't. It doesn't, because I've never watched the show. I'm one of those guys that I can't do it. It's like the people that are chefs and they're like, yeah, I don't eat steak. I eat like Big Macs. I don't watch lawyer shows, man. So you could like complete lie to me. Like, oh, this is a new cartoon. Like,
yeah, it is. You don't watch, what is it? What is it? Suits? Is that what it is? Don't watch that?
I stay away from all of it. And
dang it, I was going to ask you, how realistic are those shows?
I can tell you they're not. Without seeing a single episode, a moment, they're not. But I ruin it for my wife, and so she doesn't let me watch them either, because I'm like, that's wrong.
Even in the movies, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like the You Can't Handle the Truth, all that kind of stuff? Is that...
Oh, the surprise evidence?
Yes.
Bringing all the letters from Santa Claus? Like, no, I'm just like, I ruin it. Literally, my wife won't let me watch it with her. She's like, get out. You stop it.
You're ruining this for me. Yeah. Let me fantasize that this is how the law actually works.
Yeah,
yes.
She was watching Longmire for a little bit, and we tried watching Longmire because I was going to give it a chance. I was like, well, this man has yet to solve a single crime. It's 4 years in. He's done nothing.
I love it. Andy LeClaire joining us now. And well, the thing I wanted to bring up first was this Rashee Rice story I guess it's current Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver. Obviously, we know what he was involved in. How fast was he actually going?
He was like, I think he was 119, and his buddy, the defensive back out of SMU, he was like 116.
Wow.
So he had Rashee had the Lamborghini. So
okay, so here's my my first question. Because when this first came out, everyone was wondering, well, it was a car that he had rented, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what it was? There's no evidence yet that he was actually in the car, he was actually driving the car. My question for you is like, because that took a while, even when he was communicating with the investigators and all that stuff, it still never came out, cut and dry, that he was the one driving the car. There had to be a reason for that, right, Andy?
Well, yes, and the short answer is yes, there is a reason. Now, was it a tactical decision by Rashee's party? Was it the law enforcement didn't release it? I mean, my understanding is that as it stands, I think I was looking at it this morning, like they had photos. They knew he was like leaving the scene. There's stuff like that. The real question came if there was other passengers, because it was a fairly significant crash. I can tell you, quite frankly, I don't even think we can attribute it to Rashee himself because he'd be talking through his parties.
Sure.
And I can tell you day to day what we do is we do this for clients. We talk. You don't talk to the cops.
Yeah,
we do.
You do. Yeah.
You let us do that. And so you communicate what you need to communicate. And sometimes they're not asking the questions and sometimes it doesn't come up, or it's just something that isn't the point of the investigation at that point. Because I'm pretty sure someone they were pretty concerned about because they had a head injury.
Mm-hmm.
And it luckily, knock on wood, it's no one died.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It seems like it's a concussion and some stuff like that. So, you know, at some point you're also looking, you don't quite know if you're dealing with even a homicide. Is this a traffic case or is this a homicide? So us not getting all the information right away, or maybe it not being clear, I could even just be a simple we won't at that point in the story yet.
Where
they were investigating.
So just taking time to get to. Okay, that's interesting.
And who was driving which car?
Right.
I think that was a little bit of an interesting point too. And I can't remember, was it the DB, the defensive back? He was Knox, right? Isn't he?
Who was that? Yeah, I don't – who else was involved?
It was Rice was in the Lamborghini, and his buddy, his college buddy, was in the Corvette, I think it
was. Yeah, I think you're right.
And then there was the question of, like, who was in the crash versus when they were weaving and, like, who was doing what – who was doing what to who and when.
So it's not as easy as, like, when I get on here and I say, well, why don't we know the answer? Why hasn't he said anything? Well, they're still trying to dot the I's and cross the T's.
Exactly. And, I mean, you got to remember at some point – was he doing 119 and not involved in the crash and his buddy was the one that had the issue? Then you're just looking at, like, I mean, it's like a 6-point speeding ticket. It's not a fun speeding ticket. Or are you dealing with a felony?
Yeah.
So they're still trying to figure out that kind of stuff. And you, like I said, you don't talk to the cops.
It was Theodore Knox. Is that who it was?
Yeah, Theodore Teddy Knox from SMU. He was suspended Thursday of last week after all of this.
I heard that. I did hear Rice is still going to training camp. He's going to the voluntary workouts.
Boy, what would you do if you were the Chiefs? Would you remove – he was like – he had a lot of promise last year on the football side of things.
Sure.
He wasn't great, but he certainly made some where you go, okay, this guy might turn out to be a decent player for Kansas City. But now what do you do?
Well, and one, they need the receivers. But two, Andy Reid came out and he talked about it a little bit where he's like, it's just a process. We've dealt with this before. Well, you stick to the process. And so for me, I think that's the right answer is you – whatever your decision is, right, whatever your team has decided that they're going to handle these investigations, you say that. Because right now he's innocent until proven guilty. Is this a speeding ticket? Is this the, you know, felony of what would be Colorado's version of vehicular assault? Like, we're still trying to figure a lot of that stuff out.
What do you think ultimately, I mean, if you're just playing the guessing game here, you know, what do you think he's going to ultimately be charged with?
Well, I think they came out. They had the affidavit come out. And so the charges, I think, are already out.
Okay.
So they did hit him, if I remember correctly, and I'm sorry if I'm wrong, people can you can yell at Brady if I'm wrong about this.
Well, and make it clear, too, like, you're not giving legal advice when you come in here.
Yes, not giving legal advice. This is in Texas, so I just want to make sure, because sometimes it's a little bit hard to puzzle the what would be an issue in Colorado versus what's an issue in Texas. And it seems like it's always Texas. You got Sweat out of Texas University, picked up his, and they have different names for stuff. So regardless, here you got it looks like reckless driving, looks like an exhibition of speed or racing. You have the vehicular assault. That's the serious bodily injury tag that they hit him with. And they had multiple leaving the scenes of the accident.
Wow.
Because my understanding is they actually, like, hoofed it on foot. Like,
yeah, that's kind of what we had.
They were literally leaving the scene of the accident. So, and that's not uncommon. You see a lot of people do that. And sometimes they're for suspicious reasons. And sometimes I know cases that they're like, I went to go get a tow truck. Like, what am I supposed to do? So I don't want to speculate on what Rasheed was doing, but those are the charges they brought. But it's important to note, just because it's charges they brought
doesn't mean
it's the charges that he can face at trial, and it doesn't mean the charges that he's going to plead to or reach a resolution to.
Angel, do you have something?
Yes. The affidavit said Rice, quote, failed to check on the welfare of all the occupants of impacted vehicles. He was later charged with one count of aggravated assault, one count of collision involving serious bodily injury, and six counts of collision involving injury, and released on a $40,000 bond.
Andy, when you're like, he just read off the charges there. You just said, hey, keep in mind that just because those are the charges, mm-hmm. That doesn't actually mean he's going to be, they're actually going to make all of those stick. Why is that?
It just depends on how the evidence comes out. So you see this often. I'm trying to pick a benign situation, but let's say in this one, those are the charges they did, and it later comes out, oh, actually, he did check on the person that was right behind him, and they have that discovery, that evidence comes in.
Okay.
So that one doesn't stick.
Okay. Yeah.
Or they merge two of them. They say, hey, you actually charged him with both, like, causing the accident and causing the injury, so now we're just going to merge both of those if that ends up going to trial or a prelim or something like that. So it's important to note, charges aren't set in stone. Like, I know a lot of people hear that, like, oh, the affidavit's come down, they've charged him. Prosecution has the ability to amend that. They have the ability to amend that up to and going into trial. In fact, they've amended certain parts of the affidavit, like dates and things, in trial.
Wow.
So some of that stuff is still it does ebb and flow a little bit. So it's important to note that, because I hear this all the time, like, oh, they arrested him on 8 felonies and he took a deal for probation. Like, well, what happened in between there, right? Just because you were arrested or ticketed with something doesn't mean that's what the evidence bore out, what you're going to see, and what was going to stick.
Wow. Is this going to be a long process, you think?
I actually don't. Did you see some of the statements that his lawyer made?
I didn't see those yet.
Okay. So his lawyer came out, and credit to him, he said, hey, he's taking responsibility. He understands that, you know, he owes at least some kind of like duty of like making sure people are okay. And so he's very much taking the mitigation side of things.
That's good.
And it's good. And I think – I mean, I would note they waited until no one was dead, and they're not dealing with someone who is – I don't want to misstate this, but my understanding is the person that had the head injury, it's like it's a super severe concussion. There's going to be some long-term issues with that, but we're not dealing with someone who like broke their neck and is now quadriplegic or paraplegic.
Yeah.
So I think that once you get involved in this and he starts making amends and they start saying, okay, this is – it looks like to me that they were racing –
I think they were absolutely right.
And so once we get through the idea of trying to make the victims whole, like through restitution, maybe some class, maybe he doesn't get a driver's license anymore. But I think he's probably going to try and resolve this, especially since they're pushing for a three-peat. So like there's some things there. And remember, any conduct that disgraces the Shield, right, can get you booted for games for a season. And so if he can come out looking like, I'm sorry, mea culpa, I took care of it, does that help keep him on the field?
You can do pretty much anything, ultimately, if you're found innocent or whatever. You're not in prison. The NFL, the NBA, all these leagues will put up with a lot. But Andy, coming up next, we're going to talk about what they won't put up with. And that is gambling.
That is the number one thing
that you cannot do. Andy LeClaire joining us from Bruno Lilly LeClaire. Check him out at BLL.legal or call 720-340-1373 if you've been out racing your car and doing something interesting. Or maybe you didn't do that, but somebody's accusing you of doing that.
Exactly.
Call Andy.
Call us. Don't talk to the cops. Call us.
Don't talk to the cops. We'll be right back. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination, and we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I may need to hire Andy to represent me soon. I tweeted, I didn't think it was the worst tweet in the world, Angel. I just tweeted the Shiloh Sanders Instagram post that said, defensive transfers DM me, offensive transfers DM Shador Sanders, and I just simply said, no, not a good look. And people are coming after me, Andy. I mean, it's a scary world out there.
Can I ask, are they defending the Buffs, or are they like, hey, stop stealing all players?
It's Primes fans. Primes fans and Buffs fans are two totally different people, we've learned. You know? And Primes fans are aggressive. They're nasty.
Shocked, I tell you.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I stopped posting. A lot of people always ask, like, Brady, why'd you stop posting pictures of your kiddo and your family and stuff on social media? It's because of this. This is 100% the reason.
I mean, that's you play what? Play with the buffalo, you get the horns?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, man. You open this up.
I know. I'm like, why did I do this last night? Right. But I decided to, and I didn't think it would take off the way it did. And then you get a bunch of people like, you're just doing it for clicks. I don't even know what that means. I don't get paid by the click.
Right? If you can figure that
you
out.
No, like
tell him how to do that.
Yeah.
Then,
I mean, if I got paid by the click, I'd be posting a lot more buff stuff. But honestly, I didn't think it was a good look. Angel and I talked about it on Tuesday's show. So a lot of people are like, you're 2 days late on this one, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yet you're commenting on it still today.
Well,
it's
and
interesting.
It's probably going to stay up because just wait till other people transfer in. And it does come out that they were talking. And like,
I mean, you tell me, is that a weird look to you? Is it strange?
I think it is. I mean, it's – so I actually like Coach Prime. Deion Sanders as a personality, football player.
I do too.
Like,
I'm a big fan.
Back when he was involved in training kids for the draft.
Sure.
Like, big fan of him. I I think the weird look and what always hits me wrong is how it's twisted what was college football, and now it's more of this like machine, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like the Ball brothers with like LaMelo and Lonzo and all them when they came out, the Big Baller brand.
Yeah,
Big Baller. How they like how they turned it. So which is good for them. He got his kids in the pros. They, you know, good business, whatever. Congratulations, guys. American dream. Maybe I'm just jealous.
Yeah.
But I do feel like when you see it and you go from – I remember – I'm not that old, but I'm old enough that I can remember back in my day when I played football. And now it seems like there is a lot more like – advertising and movement and all that kind of with it. So I think that's what really strikes me weird.
Yeah, and Andy, are you good to stay, hang out for a while?
Yeah, I can stay for a bit.
When do you got to be out of here?
It depends when you throw me out. So when I screw up, you can just like shoot me off.
I want to talk about the Ohtani stuff.
That is
Misuhara stuff. That's a wild story.
What's so going I through have the timeline? You, that is nuts.
I really want to break into that with you because I think it'd be a fun discussion to have. Also, the Jonte Porter situation too. The NBA banning him. You know, he's done. So let's discuss that as well.
Yeah, keep absolutely.
All right. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKI.
Legendary Coach Bruce Dick and the biggest names in preps on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Joining me in studios, Andy LeClaire. Andy, you do a great job on this, dude. I love bringing you in. I've gotten to know you a bit, and of course, Havala through your weekly segment on Good Morning NoCo. I think that's extremely informative, and you guys will break into a lot of the local stuff too. And I just love it. I love having the opportunity to have you on the station, and then of course have you jump in here because you're a sports fan too.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Like I said, I appreciate you just letting me in the door. So. I know Havla's not here to keep an eye on me, so that's the only thing.
Well,
I'm
she's not really a sports person, right? That's what I've
she
learned.
She can identify sports.
Yeah, yeah.
So she knows a sport when she sees it.
She knows what a sport is.
Yes.
She actually knows what a sport is. Well, speaking of sports, on the baseball side of things, boy, that Shohei Ohtani story.
Man, it is. I'm having trouble keeping up on the timeline.
It's a lot.
Who said what to who? And I was going through it the other day, like. Man, now they're coming out and the interpreter is like, oh, he actually wasn't interpreting. He was like actively hiding stuff. I saw ESPN talking about that. Like, I don't know, man. I've gone back and forth on this.
Oh, when this first came out, I thought, oh, they're covering it up. Shohei Ohtani was gambling and they're going to make it look like it was the interpreter. But then as this thing has progressed and if you actually go through and read the affidavits and the texts and all that, I think it's pretty clear that Shohei had nothing to do with actually gambling, or at least according to the investigation that we've seen so far.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I don't think he did. I don't think we have anything that ties him directly to gambling. And he should pray, as you know, Patriots say to Pete Rose, that he doesn't have anything to do with it, because like you said, if there's one line in the sand in baseball, it's gambling.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like you can do a lot, and if in the court of law you're not put in prison or anything like that, and you're free to go or whatever, leagues will put up with you.
Yeah.
They'll have you.
And I mean, he is talented, and of course, like now that's the tinfoil hat side of me, right? It's like, well, is it because he's the face of the league and it's going to be the expansion? This is going to continue to drive revenue up for Major League Baseball in Asia and every like. There's always that part of me too that thinks about that. Like, remember the rumors about like Michael Jordan and he had to retire because he got in trouble.
Oh yeah,
and
if
then
you,
like
you go back and watch it, that
yeah.
documentary. It's very interesting.
So it's kind of like that's always the background thought. I was like, oh, is this really? They set this guy up to be the fall guy, but I don't think so, man. Like,
yeah, I doubt it, but I did let my brain go there because you got to once in a while, and when it went there, it was like. Did they play this thing so precisely that it was Shohei gambling, but it was supposed to be, hey, if we ever get caught, interpreter, you got to be the fall guy. So in the text, every text that he sent to the illegal bookkeepers does make it sound like 100% it was the interpreter doing the gamble, or the Misuhara doing all the gambling. So I thought, man, if there is the very small chance that Shohei did gamble, they were genius about trying to cover this thing up, at least.
Yeah,
kind of.
I mean, I have always found in my career, at least, that that usually doesn't happen. Usually there's some flaw somewhere that someone's – or if you're staring down federal charges, like all of a sudden, like, never mind, I lied. I'm sorry. I don't want to be the fall guy anymore. Like, but that hasn't happened. In fact, they came out and said like they're concerned that he wasn't interpreting. So now we're all the way back to theft. I thought he was just helping his buddy out. I was on with Tanner and Brian talking about – I think it's just him helping his buddy out. But now I don't know. I'm starting to come back around like, man, maybe this guy did steal the money.
Yeah. It's sounding more – I mean, that's the logical thought now is that it was all this interpreter. He did figure out how to get, you know, access to the bank accounts and all of that. And he just turned out to be kind of a sleazy dude.
Well, and I mean, that does happen. And that is crazy unfortunate, right? When you think about – yeah, let's say that is true. Let's say he got in, he stole the money, and that's just a fact for this hypo. Like, man, can you imagine like a more abusive situation where you're taking advantage of someone that doesn't know the language and you're their one trusted lifeline? It's like
that's awful.
It's like those cartoon shows, like or the like Monty Python skits where you have one person using the translator and he's like, I hate you, I hope you die. And the other guy's like, oh, he wishes blessings on you. you won't tell him anything was going on.
Yeah. No, that's talk about, you know, betrayal. I mean, you're relying on this person to translate your every single move. Andy, can you stick around for us to open the next hour?
Yeah,
is that cool?
Stick around.
Okay, because I want to ask some more questions. And I want to talk to Andy a little bit about the Donaghy documentary, too, because I want to ask you an interesting question coming up on the other side. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.